Our next speaker will be Larry M. from D.C.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon. My name is Larry, grateful recovering addict. Thank you, Valerie. You did a wonderful job. And I really feel like that hug was really special because I heard you say you don't really hug. So that was really, really special. I'm going to let that carry me through the day. Letting go. My topic is letting go even in the most difficult times, right? And I can go back. I'm just going to go back just for a minute, right? Can y'all hear me back there?
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the beginning, like, let's say about my first 90 days. First of all, let me say, my clean date is February 13th, 2008, so I just came up on 6 years. By the grace of God. And I got 6 years, and I've had a sponsor for about 9 years. So you do the math. My sponsors stuck it out with me, man. When I, you know, went to jail, and I kept trying, and I kept trying, and I kept trying, and it was hard. And I remember telling myself that, well, the disease telling me that you might as well stop, man. This is you. You said it in the good times in the beginning. You said this is how you're going to die. You said, man, this is it. This is you. And it fit me real good in the beginning, like when I was able to keep a few dollars in my pocket and go get some marijuana and go get some, you know, some MD 2020, right? I said, oh, this is it. You know, this, I'm the life of the party, you know. And as time went on and that thing progressed, And I tried crack, right? Man, I'm telling you. I don't even know all the events that happened, but I just know that about 10, 15 years passed, and I was a mess. And I looked and I said, man, what have I done? What's happened? Right? And I really honestly, truly believed that there was no way that I could get clean. Man, there's a few people in here very important in my life, right? Some people know it, some people don't even realize how instrumental they were in my recovery process. But there's somebody in here, when I saw him, man, he knows, he used to be around Central Avenue, and he used to carry a blanket. And he knows, man. And when I seen him, I said, man, if he can do it, I can do it. And I went out a few more times after that, though, y'all. But when I came back, I still saw him. And he was talking about he was going to school and about to get degrees and stuff, right? And the only thing I was just trying to do was get clean, right? So I'm just going to move a little forward. What I found out was that part of me letting go, I had to hold on. And what I was holding on to was the old me, the familiar me, the same old me that even in times of difficulties, I wasn't willing to let go of that behavior that I thought that was helping me to survive. Because that's what I, you know, even when the police came and I went in the handcuffs and I went over to jail, right, and I was in that predicament once again, right, I still wanted to hold on. For that moment, though, I wanted to let go. I said, I'm going to do something different, man. And I heard Valerie talk about, you know, because I did the same thing last night. I tried to put some things together and what I was going to say, man, it all went out the window. But I do remember something that I did in 90. Well, I was able to do this. I was able to memorize this speech. I had it all prepped up and stuff for the judge, right? And I memorized that speech, man. And by the grace of God, man, I actually, you know, got out. It wasn't because of the speech. It's because I had just started my run. And it wasn't but so much that he can do anyway, right? But what I did was it allowed me to go out and go venture out and go get some more pain, right? And my relationships, really, me not even realize where a lot of my relationships began and ended was in a jail cell. I went to jail. You knew me. If you didn't know me, we got to know each other. We kicked it. If I had some commissary, I gave it to you. If you had some, you gave it to me. We blamed everybody for our demise, right? And it was 5 days in the wake up. It was time to go back out there. And that was the process of relationships. And when I went back out with a chip on my shoulder and, you know, blaming everybody. Because the information that I was getting was from somebody that was doing time just like me. You know what I'm saying? And so when I started to embark on a different type of relationship, I didn't even realize what I was embarking on, right? I started embarking on a new type of relationship called a sponsorship, right? And he started to help me chip away at that old me so that I could start to let go, right? And I remember how it went. He said, look, we're going to meet up. We met at his house, right? We sat down, we said the serenity prayer, and we started on step one. And it was something about that interaction that began to allow me to open up. So if you knew, you know, as I go through some of the steps, right, you'll understand that it's not an overnight process. I felt some of the same feelings of going into a meeting and not knowing anybody and just leaving out. Coming back, not knowing anybody, leaving out, coming back, getting tired of not knowing anybody. And one day I gave somebody a hug, and one day I raised my hand and said, I'm new. And I started to let go, because those were times of discomfort. I wasn't comfortable in there with people talking about they clean, with people talking about they going out of town for the weekend. I think one of my most difficult moments, man, I was mad, I was upset, because people were going to Ocean City and they was happy, right? And they was happy and they was doing something, and I wanted that, right? But I just didn't know what the work entailed to get it. Even though y'all was telling me in the meeting, just keep coming back, I just didn't know how to do the work. I didn't know how to keep coming back. And y'all showed me. You know how y'all showed me? I kept seeing the same faces. Y'all wasn't hypocrites, because I used to break your stories down, right? And y'all, I used to punch holes in it. And I used to say, man, they done found some way to use. That's it. And I'm going to stay here long enough to find out, right? And what happened, though, I ended up finding out, man, that y'all had uninterrupted clean time. And I saw what happened to the people who interrupted their clean time. Right? And so just to, you know, give you a little bit about my history, at a young age, I think I was about 9, and I was molested at the age of 9, right? And I didn't use to that, but I tell you this, I found an escape from everything that I was feeling when I started to use. I found, and my first drug of choice was PCP. And it was something about that, man, that gave me an escape and let me hide out from the things that happened. I'm telling y'all, when I came to, I was in treatment, and I heard somebody say that they had been molested, right? And I just remember, this was years later, I said, man, God, that happened to me too. I had suppressed it, totally suppressed it, and it was gone. And then some of the memories started to come back of what happened, right? And I heard somebody say, you have to share some of those things, you know, some of those innermost secrets of what happened. Right? So I started to get some help, right? And I'll go into that a little more further on. I just had something that I wanted to share. I got out of treatment, and I did outpatient. They gave me 52 sessions of outpatient. For the first time, I always went to inpatient. I always got 6 months, and I said, man, there's just no hope. And then this one time, I said, man, they gave me outpatient? Like, this the time I ain't want it. All the other times I wanted it. I was scared. I said, God. And I remember my case manager, because he had seen me going to meetings and stuff. And the next time he saw me, I was in treatment. And he said, man, this is your time to get it right. You go to meetings. He said, man, you got a sponsor? He said, man, this is your time to get it right. You're going to get it right. You got outpatient. And I was scared, so I was going to the outpatient. Got a sponsor, you know, same sponsor, you know. I'm working, and I said, man, I don't need to continue to go to these outpatient meetings, because a lot of these people aren't where I am. You know, they coming in here with weed in their pocket, and, you know, as soon as they leave, and they talking about they want to use, man, I'm talking about I'm trying to stay clean. Why I got to keep being around these people, right? You know, and my sponsor, I called my sponsor one day. I said, man, I didn't ask for no suggestion, y'all. I said, man, I'm about to be finished with this outpatient. It's getting the way of my working, and I just need to be done with this. I'm going to meetings, right? And so my sponsor gave me a suggestion. And I'm going to tell y'all, the reason that I was able to follow the suggestion is from holding on. It's from not letting go, right? It's from holding on, because I had a good metro job, right? And I was a driver, and my sponsor said, man, I had used. And my sponsor said, man, go get some help. And I said, man, all right. And I continue on doing what I was doing and using and stuff. And he said, man, go get some help, man. You're going to end up losing that job, man. And I didn't listen, right? I didn't listen, and I ended up losing that job. and I went to treatment. And so I could hear that ringing, right? And so I learned some things, for, you know, as I went along about reflecting on things and seeing where I'm at, right? So I was able to reflect on, man, I didn't take that suggestion. I better take this suggestion. He said, man, you always quit. You always quit and stick it out. I'm telling you, I could not see for the life of me what doing this 54 sessions that outpatient is going to do for me. And I am going to meetings. I'm doing 90-90. I got a sponsor. Why do I got to continue to go to outpatient? Right? For the very reason that I was in there. You know? And what I was learning to do, and I didn't know, I was learning how to follow the rules. I was really learning how to follow, because that's what it was. Because there's a contract that they had, y'all, that me doing these 54 sessions was contingent upon my release of, you know, after doing that 28-day assessment. So it was some rules that I had to follow. And I said, well, I'm just going to go tell my PO, man, I'm going to meetings and stuff, man, and you know, they just going to have to deal with it, right? That's what I thought, but my sponsor said stick it out. And what happened was, I was the first person that ever graduated with a sponsor. And he came. My sponsor came. And I had got my 54 sessions because I was working. And everybody was doing their 72 sessions in 2 months. And I did 54 sessions. It took me about 8 months to do 54 sessions. Because I was working, though. So I couldn't get as many meetings as the other people would get. Right? And so I started to do some step work with my sponsor, man, and by the time I got to the fourth step, and I was in that booklet, and I was writing, man, and it was talking about intimacy versus sex abuse. And I'm in a relationship. I've been molested. And I'm trying to work out and differentiate the things that I'm doing that I'll justify and make them right because it's something that I believe. You know how you start out in the relationships and y'all just so off the hook and you just want to go at it and stuff like that, right? And then when things settle in, you don't want, I'm an addict, man. I want to just go. I'm telling you, when I was using, I wanted to get higher than I was. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to go, right, to the extreme. So what I did was, that's part of who I became as a result of continuing to use, and losing myself in that using. And what I know what I lost. So just to not make it a general, you know, general statement of what I lost, I'll give you some specifics. That guy that played football, that had high esteem, that went to practice, that was disciplined, that guy that played the saxophone, that didn't care who came to his assemblies, he still went. That's the person I was. And I started to lose that person in the using, because you, crack house. No rules, no regulation. It may be one rule, you're going to get a house person something. And everything else goes. So I come from no rules. Now I'm going to go a little forward. Right? And I know that it's a daily reprieve. And my daily reprieve is contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. That means that where I'm at, right? That means I do some step work, right? And things are looking good. And I'm gonna share something. Me and my wife walking down the hall, just not too long ago. And I just heard my sponsor share about doing step work. You know what I'm saying? Staying in position, feeling good. But what about when that test comes? So this guy walks past, right? And he bumps my wife, he grabs her hand and say, hi. Now I turn around and I say, that's my wife. And he looked at me and said, man, so what? You should have told me in the first place. And I stopped. I was scared. I didn't even want to look at her. I didn't even want to look at my wife. Because something just hit me. Like, if I look at her, like, I'm going to feel like I got to, you know, do something. So I just turned around and I said, man, brother, it's all right. Now, when I said that, I felt like a cold-blooded coward. I'm telling you. I said, brother, it's all right. And we turned around and we kept walking, and he came up behind me, up on me. And he said, man, I ain't mean no harm. You should have just said, this is how he said it. Man, I didn't mean no harm. You should have just said something. And the first thing went through my mind, I didn't say it out of my mouth. How am I going to say something? You ain't give me a chance. I said, brother, it's all right. Give me a hug real quick. I said, give me a hug. And I really wanted to cry. I could see the pain in his eyes. Right? And I didn't even look. I didn't even look at his badge. When we got down here, he followed me again. And I told him my name, and I asked his name, right? And my wife said, did you see his badge? He had 5 days. I got a relationship with God. But I'll get into some situations, right? And it'll go out the window, man. But that's why I know I need him. Letting go, even in the most difficult times, right, is being able to practice it enough. I didn't have to practice going to cop. I didn't have to do it. It was automatic, right? So practicing this enough, some of this stuff is just going to come automatic. It's not going to come over time. And practicing it means that I go to meetings, I call my sponsor, I get a network, I do some step work. And what happens when I go to meetings, what I find out is that I get a chance to reflect. I get a chance that somebody's going to remind me of something, man. I just got a reminder from my sponsor. Just got a reminder. And it hit me. It just hit me. Because the tests are going to come. I remember my first test, man, because you just never know where people are at. You know, you got people with all type of times, man, and you just don't know where people are at. But I remember having about 4 months, and I remember the big test, y'all. I remember 4 months. It was about 6 months because the disease always show up when I get about 3 or 4 months. And I may put them off sometimes. And this time, he didn't even say Hughes. I just started to feel some things that I never felt because what happened was I'm withdrawing. And I always would associate that with needing to use. Right? And I had this feeling, man, and I ain't like how I feel, man. And I couldn't get to a meeting. It was late, but I remember because I went to a meeting that somebody said it was going to be a dance later on. And I remember a brother, man, was in there. I remember when I walked in, everybody was dancing and stuff. I had been going to dances. And when I walked in there, everything just looked different, man. Everybody was dancing. They was happy. And it was like I was in a horror movie. And I just came in and I was just through. And I just hugged him and I cried. And I said, man, I don't want to use. And he said, I want you to do me a favor. He said, man, I want you to come to this meeting. They had a place called Trust Clinic. And he said, man, I want you to come to this meeting. Right? He said, I want you to come to this meeting. So I came to the meeting. And he said, see, you didn't have to use, man. I'm glad you didn't use. I got about 5 minutes. I want to share something real quick. Right? Because I was talking about being molested. Right? And I was going to meet up with my sponsor. Something happened. I don't remember what happened, but he wasn't home. He had left something, man. I can't remember. And I left him. You're talking about 20-something years later. I've been writing. I went to see a therapist. I've been writing. I wrote this guy letters. I hated him in the beginning. I wish he died. And as I went on and wrote him some more letters, I started to forgive him, right? But that was without the test. I forgave him, but when the test came, and I just left. I was looking for my sponsor, and I came down the street, and I didn't know what to do. I saw him after 20-something years. You know how somebody looked different and you can't recognize him? Man, he looked exactly the same. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't mistake him. I couldn't deny my feelings. And I didn't know what to do. I remember what y'all from going to meetings. If you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. But I knew what to do in this instance. I called my sponsor. It just happened. Just like I said with using, it seems like it's just automatic. I called my sponsor. Now I'm going to tell you, this is the hit. My sponsor was stuck. I said, man, I'm riding down the street. I see the guy that molested me. He said, oh. Man, he was trying to get himself together. You know what my sponsor told me? He said, man, you've come too far to throw everything out the window. Then I got a message from God. And I'm telling you, my mind, I was going to tie the dude up. I'm telling you, I was going to tie him up. I was going to put him in the back of the car. I had this immaculate scheme that I was going to put together, right? And it just didn't happen. What happened? I pulled around the block. I came back. He was still in. I said, oh, man, must be meant to happen. This must be God's will. I pulled back around the block one more time. He was still there. I couldn't believe it. I called my sponsor again, and he said, hello. I hung up. And he called me back, and he said, man, just drive away, man. This is how I struggled. I drove away, drove all the way down the street. I came back, and he was gone. You know what happened after that? A thought hit my mind that I was over the jail, sitting beside this dude, and I told him, man, I'm in here for killing a dude that molested me. And this dude said, oh, man, that's what you were supposed to do. And I remember way back with the type of dudes that I was friends with in jail and the type of information that I got. So I said, man, that's crazy. He would have been my sponsor for that moment to tell me that what I did was the right thing. And I knew it wasn't. So what I did was, and I'm going to close, what I did was I pulled off, right? And I felt like a coward. I said, man, I shouldn't have let him get away, right? And I drove away, man. And that was the beginning of my forgiveness process. That's how I was able to let go, even in difficult times. My name is Larry. Thanks for letting me share.